Hi, welcome to Social Anxiety Life, Season 2, Episode 4. In this episode, we'll be discussing social anxiety and alcohol. Today, we're going to dive into the complex relationship between alcohol consumption and social anxiety, featuring on lots of insights from our listeners. But before we begin, we want to remind our listeners that the following discussion about alcohol and social anxiety is for informational purposes only. It's not intended to diagnose, treat, or provide medical advice. If you have any concerns about alcohol use or social anxiety, please consult with a qualified healthcare professional.
So to kick us off on this subject, it's one of those subjects that quite a lot of listeners have requested, and we can tell by the amount of contributions we've had on this particular subject that it's something that resonates a lot with our listeners. And I'd like to start with one of our contributions via Facebook from Nicola. And she shares her experience of giving up alcohol over a substantial number of years ago. And this hasn't affected her socially at all when she gave up alcohol. And this maybe prompts straight away about whether alcohol is the correct way or one way of alleviating social anxiety. Because I think, you know, I think of social events that I've been invited to, and, you know, quite honestly, I'm dreading them.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm getting ready to go and I've thought, right, I'm going. I may have a drink as I'm getting ready to go. And I think there's something to be said for having a drink before you go.
Yeah.
It does relax you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, on the whole, I think, yeah, it does do what it should be doing.
Yeah. I think for me, I don't know if I would necessarily say used it as a coping mechanism, but for sure, if I have a big social event coming up, which I know I'm going to find challenging, I've done that as well, where I've had a drink before, or a drink or two at the event does, for me, help to alleviate some of the social anxiety. But I've also noticed that I will also be very mindful of how much I'm drinking. So, you know, a drink or two can be very helpful, but I think then there needs to be an awareness there of drinking in moderation.
I agree. I think it links into another contribution we have from Jackie on Facebook as well. She expresses really clearly how alcohol can alleviate the social anxiety to a certain extent. She acknowledges that if there's increased or overindulgence in alcohol for social anxiety, it could lead to increased worry about saying the wrong thing.
Yeah, I mean, it might even be a case of while you're drinking or having a drink or two at an event, it may be in that moment takes away some of that overthinking, but then that point about overindulgence, that could then lead to overthinking the next day, couldn't it, about what you might have done or what you might have said. So it's kind of a pros and cons there with drinking alcohol.
I think as well, when I am at a social event and I do have a drink, now whether it's a soft drink or an alcoholic drink, the fact that I'm holding a glass of something, it does give you something to do.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. It's like, I don't know, you feel less awkward because you've got something that you're holding.
Yeah, I think the thought of like sitting there or standing there without something,
yeah,
it increases the feeling of awkwardness.
Yeah, what do I do with my hands? How do I stand?
Yeah, you get experts that will be able to gesticulate quite confidently.
Yeah.
When they're expressing themselves, but it's almost like I need something there.
Yeah, like a crux. Is that what they call it? Crux? Something to support you.
Yeah, I think Jackie's contribution about maybe having a drink, alleviating the social anxiety, there's some truth to that.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think her point of not overindulging is equally as valid.
Yeah, absolutely. We also had another contribution quite similar on Facebook, which also talked about the potential risks of overindulging in alcohol. So sort of the importance of, I suppose, drinking, but also having the self-awareness of how much you're drinking, and thinking about maybe other methods or other things that you can do as a coping strategy when you're at events as well.
We've discussed this before. We've discussed going to social events. We've talked about if you find it's overwhelming in terms of the conversation, or you find that you're overthinking your performance,
yeah,
or how you're doing, there's other ways of doing it, other ways of coping with it. So we've talked about, I know before, going outside, taking a break,
yeah,
from it. And also, I know that when I'm going to social events, I hope I give the impression that I'm listening to what the other people are saying, or other person's saying, because quite often I'm sort of nodding along. I am listening to them. I might not have direct eye contact with the person that's talking, but I am listening to them.
Yeah.
And then for me, I've said previously before, it's about finding my place in that conversation. Mm-hmm. And there is something to say that alcohol may reduce your overthinking to some extent.
Yeah.
Where you've got, because it makes you less tense, as it were, mm-hmm. you may feel more confident to say something or to have your contribution and not to have quite sort of a low opinion of yourself.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It's sort of sometimes a drink can take that overthinking away. I think it also, for me at times, I think I become less aware, or not maybe not less aware, but less bothered about maybe what people are thinking of me. I feel like that's a very heightened sort of thing for me when I'm experiencing my social anxiety, is a lot of overthinking about how I'm being perceived. If I'm being too quiet, am I talking enough about this? And sometimes a drink for me can just kind of alleviate that worry a little bit. And as you said, just relax.
And then one of our other listeners, Larry, said on Facebook that he contrasts his experience of social situations with his husband's
very social nature.
Yeah, it's very social, yeah. Nature that it can be made more awkward. And that brings up the point of the dynamics and the interactions between different people in social situations, because you'll get people that maybe they choose not to have an alcoholic drink. They'll choose to have a soft drink, or they might choose not to drink at all. And they naturally, the social buzz of the social event, that's enough for them.
Yeah.
So that's their cue to, they can fully relax and enjoy the event. They go around and talk to people without, I don't know, maybe giving the impression they don't care about what other people think, but they just get in there and they enjoy themselves.
Yeah, move around with confidence. And
which I don't have at all. I don't find it, it's almost, I feel quite jealous of those people.
Oh, yeah.
Who, they know they're going to a party and they go in and, you know, they greet everybody and then they're straight into, where they get a drink, they go get some food, they're on the dance floor.
Yeah.
And that's it. I look at them and I think, good on you.
Yeah.
But I can't do that. No. I can't fully do that.
Oh, I would love to be invited to a social event and my first feeling just to be excitement. But it never is. It's always like, oh, immediate sort of worry about all of those social things. I would love to just have an immediate reaction of excitement to go to a social event, especially one where I didn't know many people. But unfortunately,
how would you then feel you know, is there any way that within social situations, is there any ways that maybe we can feel more empowered and confident in these situations? Because I struggle to think of what else I can do that I'm not doing already. You know, I feel more confident now to say no to not going. Mm-hmm. And some people are more understanding of it, of why I don't go. And I can say that it's too much for me. I just don't want to go. Mm-hmm. And even when I do go, I have my strategies in place and they work for me.
Yeah.
And it's almost like I get through it.
Yeah.
But I never come away really thinking, oh, I've really enjoyed myself. I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
It's still difficult.
Yeah. I feel like the more I've been exposed to different people and different social events, I wouldn't in any way say that I find it easy, because I don't. I think it's slightly eased over time, the social anxiety, just through like having to go to a lot more things in recent years. But then I still really struggle. I still overthink. I still panic. And I still don't get as much enjoyment out of them as I would like to because of that. But I feel like it's a work in progress for me. Like, I've developed strategies, but as you said, I'd love to develop further ones to actually make me feel more confident.
I'm trying to think of something I can think of events where I've gone and the sort of unexpected has happened where, you know, I have spoken to other people and I find it interesting what they're speaking about, and then the conversation naturally flows. And we've said before, the small talk, which you can argue that it's necessary. I hate it still.
Yeah.
I really struggle with it. But I do realise that, you know, when you meet new people, you talk about, you know, how you got there, how do you know the person?
Yeah.
What do you do for a job? What's the weather like? All that. Mm-hmm. Their ways in for some people.
Yeah.
I do find, though, when you start getting onto sort of deeper conversation, if it happens, then that almost is a comfort for me.
Yeah. So do you, in terms of, say, having a drink, do you find in your experience that helps with the small talk aspect that you find more difficult, or?
I suppose it's the first thing you do when you go.
Yeah.
So if you're going to a party, then usually, if I think about the process of when you get there, you almost, depends if you're on your own or you're with someone else. You go, you're there. I almost sort of see, like, I'm looking for the person or people that I know, if there is indeed people that I know.
Yeah.
That I'll probably go and talk to them first. Or you go and put your coat in, or you do whatever you need to do first. But one of the things you do is you get a drink first. You don't get food first. You get a drink first to sort of put... It's the thing you do.
Yeah.
And then you start sort of the social stuff. And that bit's quite the difficult bit.
Yeah.
Depending on who's there.
Yeah, absolutely. We have another contribution on Instagram, actually, which is about being a social butterfly, and that alcohol can actually boost your confidence in an unfamiliar social situation. So sort of that idea that alcohol maybe can affect your confidence in a positive way if you're in a social situation, maybe give you the confidence you wouldn't have otherwise.
I think building on from that, it's important to emphasise responsible consumption.
Yeah.
Because the danger is, if you have more than, say, one, then it might not be as positive experience as you may think it might be.
Yeah, I mean, that brings us to, we've had loads of contributions, another one on Instagram and an anonymous one, which highlights the potential negative impacts of alcohol and social anxiety. So sort of understanding the effects it can have on you, and just thinking about alcohol consumption and how it relates to your mental health. So like you were just saying, I suppose it's, you can look at it from two sides, in that the positive side is maybe having a drink, the alcohol can help with your confidence, it can maybe bring some of your barriers down, but then it can do the complete opposite for some people, in that, you know, if you do it to excess as well, actually that could have a very negative impact on your mental well-being when you're in those situations.
I think building on from that, there's another contribution we've had from Peter on Facebook. And Peter is perhaps a beacon of wonderfulness.
Yes.
By saying that he's actually abstained from alcohol for over 40 years.
That is interesting.
And he makes it very clear that that hasn't impacted his ability to cope with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've met Peter
yeah.
on more than one occasion. And, I would say that's true. He expresses himself really well.
Yeah.
He immerses himself in the social events. So that brings across, you know, your resilience to overcome social anxiety or to cope with it.
Yeah.
So it's what you can do within yourself to live with it.
Yeah.
Because you can't cure it, can you?
No.
I wouldn't say you can cure social anxiety.
No. I think for me, if I'm sort of thinking about alcohol as it relates to my social anxiety, it's definitely something that can help and support me in certain situations. I'll have to admit, sometimes if I need a drink before I go to a social event, or drinking at a social event, I actually find very helpful for me. Having said that, it's also been really important for me to develop other strategies as well, because I think I don't want to have an over reliance on that as, you know, as my method of coping. So for me, we've talked before about taking yourself away from the social situation, going outside, things like that are coping mechanisms that I've sort of developed over the years as well. And I think it is important to have that balance and do it in the healthy way.
Linked in with that, so another anonymous contribution we had via Facebook was that somebody shared a very personal story, a very personal journey with alcohol and social anxiety. And they reflected on maybe using it as a coping mechanism through a certain period in their life, which for me sparked a thought of, it's a complex relationship for some people with alcohol and social anxiety, because as we said earlier, it can go some way to maybe eliminating the overthinking, the thoughts that you have about yourself. But then the next day, you know, you review the event.
Yeah.
And sometimes you might think, oh, what did I say? Oh, I can't remember saying that. Or then it's almost double overthinking.
Yeah.
You're doubling everything. Plus you may not be feeling 100%.
Yeah.
The next day as well. So, I mean, I must thank that listener for being very candid about the period in their life that they did that, and how, you know, maybe discussing it or being very candid with it, it made them a better person.
Yeah, and I think it's about acknowledging the sort of short-term benefits versus the long-term effects, isn't it? You know, in his case, it sounds like maybe the short-term benefits were really positive initially, but then over time, it's kind of become more of a negative and more of a hindrance.
I'm just thinking on that, and I'm actually going to think of, I've got another perspective completely, which isn't mentioned in any of these contributions so far. Sometimes, you know, when I've been out and, you know, I get home, then sometimes when I get home, on occasions I've had a drink at home to that's my way of ending the evening, where I can just sort of sit and you know, I can just collect myself together. It's almost I'm reviewing.
Yeah, I was going to say almost like thinking over the night and sort of.
I compare it to like if you watch it like TV programs when the end credits
roll
up at the end. And yeah, I always tend to think during those moments, I just need that time just to sort of relax and and sort of come to the end of the evening and sort of naturally round it off. And I suppose, you know, having a drink then is a different it's a different thing.
Yeah.
It contrasts the pre event.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I almost think that sometimes when we've chosen to go to the event and the event's ended, sometimes we don't give ourselves enough credit. We always focus straight away on, oh, I was very quiet, or that person must have been thinking, or that small talk was dreadful, I couldn't stand it, I'd rather not have been there.
Yeah.
When actually you should be probably thinking,
yeah,
I went.
Yeah.
I did it.
I agree.
I got, I don't want to say I got through it, because that sounds bad. I think that sounds bad, I got through it.
No, I know what you mean, though. It's like, you should just be really proud, but you tend to focus on all the negatives. Or, actually, for me, I sometimes feel a bit embarrassed to sort of pat myself on the back, because I'll think to myself, well, you went to a social event. Like, a lot of people do that all the time. Like, why are you patting yourself on the back? But actually, no, for me, it is something to acknowledge, but it's not always easy to do.
And actually, with the rise of, you know, I'm thinking back to when I was younger, social media wasn't prevalent when I was younger. But I think now, with the plethora of social media options available to us, quite often after, you know, after social event, people will post about the about the event. And I'm in two minds on that, because sometimes when I look through the social event, I thought, yeah, that was a good night. Or sometimes I think, oh my goodness, that was that was something else. So I think the role of social media, there's something there.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's a future episode, thinking about the role of social media in into people's anxieties.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think related to all of the contributions, we did a number of polls as well. On Facebook, 62% of respondents in our private Facebook group believe that alcohol helped them through social events, whilst 38% didn't. But on Instagram, 27% said that believe that alcohol made social anxiety better. 55% said it made it worse, and 18% said they were unsure of the effects.
Yeah.
And these two polls contrast each other. I don't know whether it's because the Facebook group, everyone in that group has social anxiety to some description, whilst on Instagram it's more of a mixture.
Yeah. I think it also probably reflects just the sort of differences in terms of people's experiences with alcohol and social anxiety, you know, and that's come through in a lot of the contributions. We've had some really positive, oh, it's really helpful, helps my confidence. And then we've had the complete opposite of, it was really harmful to me, it was not helpful. And I guess that's sort of what's come out in the poll.
I think in conclusion, it comes down to you're in control of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you drink alcohol, then it's completely up to you.
Yeah.
If you have a drink beforehand, if you have one during the event, it's completely up to you. Is there other alternatives? So if you're using it for your crutch to get through.
Yeah.
It's maybe time to think about what else is there.
Mm-hmm. I think sorry to interrupt. I think it's a case of drink alcohol or don't drink alcohol, but it's about prioritizing yourself and your mental health and your health in general. You know, as you said, if it's helpful, brilliant, but are there other methods you could also develop to support you?
Yeah, and there's as we said before, there's you're in control. If you don't want to go to the event, you don't go.
You say no.
You say no, but you explain why you're not going.
Yeah.
And I think saying you have social anxiety, educating people on social anxiety, then puts it on them to do the work.
Well, I was going to say, if you explain that you have social anxiety and they don't understand, well, then clearly they need some education. Maybe point them in the direction of our podcast.
Absolutely. Now, as we wrap up season 2, episode 4 of Social Anxiety Life, we are thrilled that this podcast has been going for a year now. And it actually doesn't seem that long ago since I remember we were sitting here, this exact point in your flat, in your house, sorry.
Yeah.
And I remember we just pressed play and just got on with episode
one. Yeah, it was very, we were just chatting, weren't we? Because we didn't really know what we were doing, didn't have a structure.
But it seems apt at this point to thank anybody who's been listening, sharing, downloading, streaming the podcast episodes, because we're quite taken aback with how well it's been received.
Also, all of the contributions. Thank you so much to the people that actually take the time to tell us their stories or respond to episodes, give us feedback. It's so nice for us, but it's really helped our episodes as well, having all those contributions and different viewpoints. So thank you so much for that.
As always, if you have any feedback or contributions or want to message us directly, please do so at socialanxietylife2023@gmail.com or apply via Facebook to be in the Social Anxiety Life podcast group.
Amazing. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks again. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.